All right. Would everybody please help me welcome our speaker tonight? It's Randy J. from York, Pennsylvania, and his home group is the 8 a.m. meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous in York, Pennsylvania.
My name's Randy. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Randy.
And, yeah, it's a nice night out, huh? Nice night out up here in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. We almost got lost. Because I was in Quakertown. I was in Allentown, what, Saturday? We were up here in Allentown. We went to a mini-conference where the delegate comes in and tells us about the report from the GSO. And we drove all the way up there, and we did the mini-conference. And we put on a play, and it was pretty cool. It was like Star Trek. It was Star Wars. It was called it was Star Wars. We could talk about a hidden agenda topic. It was pretty cool. But we had Darth Vader, and it was pretty cool. And alright, so we did that mini assembly, and then I was supposed to speak at Easton, right? So we hung out in Quakers in Allentown. So we went to another meeting, which is like 15 miles away from here. So we went to that meeting, and then we went to Easton, and then I came home. And then today we drive up here, and we're cool, you know, driving, having a good time. And I'm like, yeah, I remember this. And then I started realizing, right, it was the place that I put in my GPS list. You know what I mean? But we made it in time, thank God. All right, so I'm supposed to tell you, my name is Randy, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Randy.
And I have a sobriety date. It's December 1st of 04. I have a home group. It's the 8 a.m. meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I love my home group. It meets 6 days a week in lovely York, Pennsylvania. Don't be a dork. Come to York, check us out. I will bring chairs out for every one of you. It's pretty cool. I love my home group. I have a sponsor, and my sponsor knows that he sponsors me because I actually talk to him on the phone. We meet up at meetings and stuff. And thank you. And I've been blessed and honored to be able to sponsor men in Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's a blessing. I was supposed to tell you what happened, what it used to be like, and all the other stuff, you know. And a lot of people say from the podium, that's an easy job. But it's hard. I think it's hard for me because I'm not really that articulate. I don't have words that can wrap around Alcoholics Anonymous because it saved my life. You know, I love Alcoholics Anonymous. It saved my life, bro, like, for real. Like, you have no idea. Like, you know, I have almost 10 years in sobriety. You know, that's crazy for a guy like me. You know, you hear people say, well, I have 9 years. I don't say that to impress you. But hell, I say that to impress you. 9 years for a junkie like me? Are you serious? No, but not to impress you that way. To impress you what God has done in my life. Like, he took... Man, it was really bad. And, like, he molded me into something that's been useful. You know, and that really makes my heart smile. I grew up a good Catholic kid in York, Pennsylvania. You know what I mean? I was a good Catholic boy. Captain of the football team, captain of the wrestling team. I was an honor student, you know? Captain boy, honor student. Yes, Your Honor, no, Your Honor, one of the type of guys. You know what I mean? And I remember my first drink with consequences. I was about 16 years old. My uncle used to coach football for Naval Academy, right? So we went down there to visit. He was showing off his new house, you know? So we went down there, and my cousins were like, yo, let's get some beer. I'm like, right on. You know, I'm a kid. Right on. Let's get some beer. And we got a case of a Black Label. Oh, yeah. That's some nasty stuff, right? Yeah, well, that beer is so nasty. It's got a guy with a black eye on the can. So we got this case of beer, right? You know, when you're a kid, bro, like, you get whatever you can get. You know what I mean? We got the biggest kid going to the state store to get the beer. You know what I mean? He comes out with some hot ass, excuse me, African, some hot malt liquor. You know what I'm saying? So we got a case of malt liquor, and we go to the woods. And I felt the effect produced by alcohol right away. You know, the big book talks about that. I felt the effect produced by alcohol right away. Because when I went to that woods, I was a shy little kid. I didn't know nobody. You know what I mean? I'm just hanging out with my cousin. I'm about 16 years old. I'm chubby. I don't know nobody, right? And we went with guys and girls. And as soon as I had a couple of them drinks, right, I felt the effect produced by alcohol. As soon as I got that black label with me, I felt something happen. Like, I went in the woods. I'm afraid of girls, but, you know, I'm 60, I'm afraid of girls. I have a couple beers. I'm like, hey. Hey. The alcohol loosens me up, right? All of a sudden, I'm talking to the girls. Alcohol helps me to lie, too, because I'll be lying when I'll be drunk. I don't know about anybody else. But I'll be lying. Like that year, I remember I played football all my life. I played football as a guard. That year, they made me a fullback, right? I never got the ball. I never touched the ball. I touched the ball one time in a fumble. They made me a fullback because I was a blocking back. But after having me a couple old Mabels, right, I had like 20 touchdowns. You know what I mean? I'm a Heisman Trophy winner, right? Because the alcohol helps me lie. So I remember one thing, though. I remember I didn't want to get caught with the alcohol. So I remember coming home from the woods, right, and I'm drinking everybody else's beer, right, because I don't want to get caught. I got to get rid of the evidence. You know what I mean? So I'm drinking everybody. I don't know nothing about being drunk. I just want to get rid of the evidence. So by the time I get to my uncle's house, you know, they were trying to sneak me in the house. You know what I mean? I don't know if you ever been that way, like try to sneak a kid in your house when you're drunk. You know, when you're a kid, of course. That'd be a different program. I did not say that. Sorry. So anyhow, look, I'm tore up, bro. Like, I am drunk, and I'm trying to get in this house, and they're like, shh, 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 ah, shh, ah. And I remember, right, I was going in the house. I don't know why I remember this dumb stuff, right? But different strokes was on. It was the first time it was on. They were like, what you talking about, Willis? I went, ha! He said, what you talking about? Oh, ha, 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 ha. Oh, 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 oh. And I start blowing chunks all over my uncle's house. And you know, kids, bro, like, we don't pay attention to what we eat, right? I had, like, those cheese curls, those orange ones, right? So here, you know, and the thing about it is, right, I knew my uncle was going to get on me, right? And I was bracing myself for that the next day. But he didn't say nothing to me. He just gave me that look of disgust, you know, that look. And in my addiction, I would grow to feel that look. You know, he just looked at me. He didn't even say nothing. But when he looked at me, he was like, you little son of a gun. How in the hell are you going, boy, don't you know that's Caribbean leather? You got orange puke all over my, are you crazy? You know, but he never said that, you know. And that was like my first episode with the consequences. I did good, you know, I didn't grow up. Like, I wasn't voted most likely to smoke weed or nothing like that. Like, I was a good kid, I really was. Joined the Air Force, did good things in the Air Force. I got I guarded the President of the United States. You know what I mean? I didn't have dreads back then, but I did guard the President. All kinds of awards and stuff like that. But when it came to regard of alcohol, well, like when I drink, I can't stop, no matter what. And it got so bad, I started running in and out of rehabs and jail. I've been to like 33 rehabs. I've been to jail like 18 times. Now, that doesn't make me an alcoholic. It just shows I spent a lot of money on a big book, you know? Also shows that I'm hard-headed. Because I think I can do things, you know, the way I want to do things. I don't want to do them the way you do things. But, I don't know, I used to get arrested all the time. And, you know, in the big book, they talk about a sense of ease and comfort that's produced by the first drink. I used to get a sense of ease and comfort that was produced by handcuffs. Because they used to put those handcuffs on my wrist, and I'd be like, because at least I had another shot, you know what I mean? And They would take me to York County for. I'm the only guy that, I guess I'm not the only guy, but I'm that cat that used to, like, get arrested and then thank the cops. I'm like, yo, thank you. Like, for real, you saved my life. Like, because that's how bad my life had gotten. You know what I mean? And the reason why I went to so many rehabs and jails, mostly rehabs, because I'm the guy, like, you know, the guy in court that's always crying to the judge. Like, I'd be crying. I cry. I don't care. They just keep me out of jail. I'd cry. I'm like, don't send me to jail. I need rehab. I have a problem. I'll do anything. I'll get that quarter butt naked and stand on my head. But don't send me to jail. But I wouldn't do that. I'm just a freak. I like to be naked. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to go to jail. You know? But anyhow, I get arrested. And I get that sense of ease and comfort because I knew I had a chance. And I'm going to jail. And I know I'm going to be sick for a couple of days, but at least I got a shot, you know? And I get in there, and this guy, he used to bring meetings into the prison. His name is Joe G. He's about this tall, little white guy, about this tall. He had a war toupee. And every Thursday and Friday, he'd bring meetings into prison. And I knew he had a toupee because Thursday he'd be cocked on one side, and Friday he'd be cocked on the other side, right? And he would talk about Alcoholics Anonymous. And, like, he would get so fired up about Alcoholics Anonymous, bro. Like, it felt like he looked like a little superhero. Like, he was going to turn into Spider-Man and jump up on the table, you know what I mean? Hey, guys, you got to give it away to keep it. I can hear him right now. You got to give it away to keep it. You got to get out of here and tell the people what you learned. And I'm like, you know, I was all about that, you know? Because for the first time in my life, he had something I really wanted. But I wasn't going to say it in jail, you know what I mean? It's kind of corny if you say, I want to be like him when I get out of here. But, I wanted what he had, you know? And for 6 straight months, because I go to jail, what, 6 months intervals? Like, I go in the summertime and get out in the wintertime, you know what I mean? And for 6 straight months, I would go to meetings. And I wouldn't even think about alcohol. And for 6 straight months, you know, I'd read the big book, because he would give me a big book, and I'd read the big book every night. I'd read the big book. And I thought it was so spiritual, because I would read it and fall asleep, you know what I mean? Because I didn't understand anything that it said. But I'd read it, you know? And for 6 straight months, I'd write my girl, you know? I'd write my girl, I'd be writing a letter. Dear baby, I love you, baby. Never again will I ever be enslaved by alcoholism. I am a new man, baby. I have became a new man right here in these concrete walls. I have changed, baby. Love always, baby. P.S. Please send me $5. I need some Lucky Buddy bars. I need some new drawers. After that birthday, I write her letters every day. And I think about my kids, you know me, because I got 2 beautiful kids. Not going to miss any more football games. I'm going to make sure I take them with Chuck E. Cheese's, you know. For 6 straight months, that's all I think about. You know, and the guys, you know, the guys, they be playing cards with you in jail. And, like, you know, you play a card, and some dude would be like, yo, when I get out of here, I'm going to get me a 40 of Budweiser. I'm like, what? You going to do what? You going to get a 40? Are you crazy? You don't see that big book next to that toilet? That's my big book. You don't talk that stuff around me. You better go on with that. I'm like, 40. I'll 40 you, y'all. You know what I mean? I was trying to shoo the people away from me. You know, so I'm thinking about my pretty little thing, doing the right thing for 6 straight months. Doing the right thing, AA, my pretty little thing, and cheeseburgers, because let's face it, I'm fat. And that day would always come. They called my name, Randolph Jefferson, bag and baggage. I was like, yeah, man, that's me, bag and baggage. And I started heading out the long corridors, that long halls in York County Prison. Yep, been there?
Yeah, right on.
Gotta let him know. Anyhow, and they got these long halls, right? And I'll be walking down the hall. Now remember, I went in the summertime. It's now wintertime, right? And they don't give you new clothes when you get out of jail. They give you the same clothes that you had on. So it's pouring snow raining outside, like snow and rain. You know, it's a daggone blizzard outside, and they give me my clothes, which consist of a pair of flip-flops, a pair of shorts, and a t-shirt, a V-neck. A V-neck, a pair of shorts, and flip-flops. And there's a blizzard outside, right? And I ain't thought about a drink for 6 straight months. And I get there, right? And they put you in that Sally Port, right? And I'm standing there, and that buzzer starts ringing. And all of a sudden, like, I'm standing there, and I gained 30 pounds, right? So the shorts look like Daisy Dukes. You know what I mean? They're all tight. So I'm standing there with nut huggers on, right? And that buzzer starts to ring. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, what the hell? Like, what's going on here? Like, I ain't thought about a drink. I swear to goodness, I have not thought about a drink in 6 months, right? And that buzzer starts ringing. My stomach is flipping. And I'm not thinking about that pretty little thing. And I'm not thinking about them kids. They can wait till tomorrow. All I can think about is getting around the corner to the paddock to get a drink. You know what I mean? So I start walking in flip-flops. Yo, in flip-flops. And shorts. I'm walking in the snow because my girl's not out there. And I'm happy she's not out there. Because now I got my chance, right? So I'm walking in the snow, right? And I got these two angels that pop over my shoulders, right? And they got dreads. And one angel's like, no, I know you're not. Randy. And the other one's like, yes, he is. And I got this battle on my head, right? The one angel's like, do it. And the other one's like, don't do it. Do it. And I'm walking. Do it. And I get to the bar. Do it. And I ask for that Budweiser. Do it. Do it. And I get that sense of ease and comfort I produced by that drink. That drink shuts my head up completely. But see, with alcoholism, it's such a progressive disease. And, like, if you've been where I've been, like, at one time, alcoholism used to make me feel calm for about this much time. I used to feel that nice ease and comfort. But it's to the point now where I feel ease and comfort for about this long, this much. And then the two angels, right, all of a sudden they turn into demons after I drink. So it's like, do it. Oh, you big dummy! Why'd you drink? You're a piece of crap! Take your pocketbook! Your PO's gonna get you! You're a piece of crap! And that's continued over and over and over again. That's what the big book says. It says it'll be continued over and over until a psychic change can be made. Right? I heard that all the time in AA. I heard you guys talk about psychic change. It kind of used to scare me, though. You know? Because I hear God's name, like, the only thing you have to change is one thing, and that's everything.
What the freak are you talking about?
Thank God I got a sponsor. And he told me that one thing is your mind, a mental change, a psychic change. So I told you I used to pray all the time because I was a Catholic boy, right? So I pray all the time. I pray for things like, dear God, make me invisible while I'm still at Walmart. This is work too. I pray, dear God, please give me $20 a day. Please give me $20 a day. I promise. I'll quit. I'll go tomorrow, please, God. I pray, dear God, kill me or cure me because I can't live like this anymore. And God listens to people like us. You know what I mean? He gave me a whole bunch of money in one shot. He gave me $160,000 in one shot. And I said to myself, I said, so, I am not going to mess all this money up. You know what I mean? You can do something with 160 grand, right? So I got this, I got 160 grand cash, right? The first thing I did was bought me a deluxe apartment on the east side of town, because my last name is Jefferson, I was moving on up. I bought a 1969 Chevy Malibu SS, always wanted a muscle car, I got a muscle car, and I bought a flat screen TV, right? And back in the day, like, flat screens were expensive, and not only were they flat, they were thick. You know, so I put it in my house, you know, and like, you come to my house and watch football, you have to go like this to get in there, because TV was so damn thick. But I got all that stuff, you know what I mean? And I finally said to myself, you're going to be all right. You know what I mean? I got money everywhere. I got money in my sock drawers, you know? I don't put money in the bank, because I don't believe in banks. Or they don't believe in me one, too. So I got money in my sock drawer, right? I got all this stuff. My girl be like, yo, we need some groceries. I grab a stack of money, throw it at her. Go on, girl. Just throw it in the bag. You know what I mean? Just go on, girl. Go on, go get some cereal. Get some Fruit Loops. Don't get the Fruit Hoops. You know what I mean? Get the Fruit Loops. The hell with that Captain Colossal. Get the Captain Crunch, girl. God, you know what I mean? Yeah, I was a baller. I'm a baller on the budget now, you know? But, yeah, and I, you know, I took a drink. And all that stuff was gone, you know what I mean? Everything was gone. The car was sitting on cinder blocks. I had eviction notices on my house. And Julio traded me a bundle of Budweiser for the TV. And they did intervention. You ever seen intervention? You've seen intervention, right? They had an intervention on me. And that intervention went so fast, I need to see Dr. Phil. I don't know where he got to. But children and youth came to my house with an intervention. And they said, Mr. Jefferson, they thought they were going to have a fight. They're like, Mr. Jefferson, you got to do something. And I was like, you know what? I was tired, bro. And I was like, you know, whatever it takes, I'm ready to go. So they put me in a van, and they drove me the whole way to Erie, Pennsylvania. And they took me to Erie because, like, I burned up all these rehabs. There have been so many rehabs. And Erie was the only place that took me. So they drove me the whole way up to Erie. And I'm driving up to Erie, and I'm thinking, like, what am I going to do different? You know what I mean? I've been to 32 rehabs. What am I going to do different? And I said to myself, I know I'm going to pay attention. Because usually when I go to rehab, like, I'm the prankster. You know what I mean? I don't pay attention. I'm a prankster, you know? And so I've got a notebook and a pencil. I'm paying attention this time. And usually when I go to rehab, I get a rehab girlfriend, like rehab romance. But not this time, because God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself, you know? Because it was an old male facility. So it was kind of hard. It's kind of hard to get a rehab romance. One guy was kind of cute, though. I ain't going to lie. Don't be joking. Stop. Anyhow. So anyhow, I'm at this rehab, right? It's supposed to be a 30-day treatment. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm a new guy. I'm a kind of special new guy. I know the new people out here aren't like me, but I'm a genius new guy. Because I know everything, you know? I'm supposed to be in rehab for 30 days. It's day 21, and I'm down in the counselor's office talking about, yo, I'm ready to go. Here, I got a counselor that's been doing this stuff for years, went to school for this stuff, and I'm up there talking about, yo, good to go. Where are you going to send me? You know, I'm ready to go. Chicago? I'll go. Chicago? How about Mississippi? 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 How about Boca? Everybody wants to go to Boca. There's recovery houses in Boca. I'm going to go to Boca. We're like, Mr. Jefferson, you don't have no funding. You're going back to Pennsylvania. You're Pennsylvania! Are you crazy? Are you trying to kill me? York is my problem. They're like, Mr. Jefferson, please sit down. I'm not trying to hear about your problems. You know what? Then I come indignant. Go get my bags. Get my bags. And they brought me my bags. I had designer bags. You know, the Glad bags that smell good. Aren't we a mess? Like, we want to go somewhere, but we ain't got no place to go. So they sent me back to York. My sister let me sleep on the floor in her house, which she had a lot of rooms. I slept on the floor across from her bedroom because I was a thief and she wanted to hear her TV leave in the middle of the night. I would wake up in the morning and I heard one thing at the rehab. They told me meetings makers make it. And I was determined to do that. So I wake up in the morning and I start walking to the 8 a.m. meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I get there about 7:30 and I met this guy named Harrison. And Harrison, me and Harrison became friends. And he would greet every day. And I started looking forward to meeting him at the door so we would greet together. You know what I mean? And he taught me how to greet in Alcoholics Anonymous. So I would greet, drink up all your coffee, leave that meeting, and then go to the meet meet, which is the whole way across town. I walked there. Then I walked from the meet meet, and I walked into town. And once I hit Sherman Street, which is the beginning of the city, right, because I'm from the city, like people would start seeing me. They'd be like, yo, Randy, right? And I haul ass running, right? Because, like, I was afraid. I was full of fear. You call my name, I start running because I thought I'd fall down that slippery slope. And I'd run the whole way into Duke Street, and I knock on the door. I'm like, yo. At a recovery house, I'd be like, yo, my name's Randy. I'm an alcoholic. I need your help. They'd be like, come on in, Randy. And I'd sit on the couch, and we'd talk about Alcoholics Anonymous. I did that for 6 straight months, like running around, going to meetings, and that's it. No sponsor, no home group, no step work, right, for 6 straight months. People say that's called white-knuckle sobriety. You ever heard that term? White-knuckle sobriety in there, hanging in there? White-knuckle sobriety. You know how hard I got to hang in to have white knuckles? Yeah, I was hanging in there, bro. Hanging in there. I'm good. I'm fine. You know, so one day I was coming into town, and it was pouring out rain. It was cold. And this dude pulls up. He's like, yo, Randy, get in the car. Stop playing. Get in the car. I'm like, whatever. Okay. So I get in his car, right? He says, where you been? I ain't seen you in about 6 months. I said, I'm sober, bro. I'm sober. I got 6 months sobriety. I'm good. He said, that's real good. He said, you don't mess around anymore? I said, nope. He says, good, maybe you can sell this for me. I was like, what? And he pulled out this stuff, right? I'm like, holy crap, what's a man to do? You know? The guys from the 8 o'clock meeting, they weren't on my shoulder. The guys from the 12 o'clock meeting, they weren't there. It's just me and this bag of Budweiser. And I said to myself, you know what? Give it here. And I ran home like an animal to my sister's house because I hadn't been home. And I ran home, everyone was away, and I was trying to find, I was trying to get this Budweiser in me, you know? And I got it in me. And when I was done, I felt so much guilt. For the first time in my life, I knew I was going to die that way. I knew I was going to die junkie. You know what I mean? I just knew I was going to die this way. Because I've been to your meetings, you know what I mean? I've been to your meetings. I drank your nasty butt coffee. You know what I mean? I've been to your dances. And I don't even like you people anyhow. Like, for real, I don't. I don't like you people. Because you all got something that I want, but I don't know how to get it. And that I feel like raising a bowl of milk in your Pennsylvania. Kind of like here. And I think I'm different. Now, I know everyone has their own differences. Everyone in this room had some type of uniqueness. I know we did. Either at one time I was too young. At one time I was too old. At one time I had too much money. At one time I didn't have enough money. Like, there's always something. I'm so different. And I remember, like, I did that bag and I was like, you know what? The heck with this, bro. You know what I mean? And my keen alcoholic mind said, you know, I was tired of the look. Those looks. And my mind said, if you don't want to see the looks, just move someplace else, bro. Like, go die someplace else. So I decided I was going to move to Philadelphia. That's brilliant, right? So I went down the next morning to get my bus ticket, and the bus came at, like, 3 o'clock. And it was pouring down snow rain again. It's snowing. It's a blizzard outside. I have nowhere to go. And I said to myself, you know, where can I go to keep warm before this bus comes? And I decide to go to AA meeting. Right? So I go to AA meeting and I see all you happy people. I call you chuckleheads, right? Chuckleheads, everybody all happy and whatnot. And I'm standing there, and I'm like pissed off. I'm so mad. And this dude, his name was Scott. This young kid came up to me. He had a big old head, chucklehead. He's like, "Hey, buddy, how you doing? My name is Scott, and I'm an alcoholic. What seems to be your problem?" And I said, "Yo, how the heck do you do this? Like, why are you so freaking happy? Like, how can you be happy and sober at the same time?" He said, "Well, if you want what I have, you'll do what I do." I was like, and I said to myself, I said, "Self, you never really tried this, bro." And this is where Alcoholics Anonymous, Synchronicity, Carl Jung, in our big book, he coined the word synchronicity, meaning a whole bunch of little things that happen in Alcoholics Anonymous. When you add them up, they make a dramatic effect. And that's what happened that day. Because all these little things were happening, and now that I add them up, they made a dramatic effect. My sponsor was supposed to be going to work. I asked him to be my sponsor. He was supposed to be going to work. He didn't go to work that day because he was having a problem with her. Right? And he was on his phone talking to his sponsor about her. Right? And I wasn't in the car, but I could imagine the conversation going as follows. "I'm going to kill her. It's all about her. I can't stand her." And the sponsor said, "Yo, I don't want to hear that crap. I don't want to hear that crap about her. If you want to save yourself today, you don't want to drink today." He says, "I don't care if you go to work or not, but you better go to a meeting and reach out to a dirty, hopeless, smelly, Afro-wearing alcoholic and reach your hand out to that guy. Because that's who's going to save your life." And that guy was me. I got sober because my sponsor followed directions. Right? And I asked him to be my sponsor. And I remember he had this, he said, I said, "What do you want me to do?" He said, "Call me every day." And he had this big old Bronco, right? A Ford Bronco. The big one, the Bronco. Do you remember the big Broncos? I don't even know what color it was. It was like green and primer and red. And I swear to goodness, he had three different tires on that car. I swear to goodness. Because when you would drive the car would bounce up and down like this. You know what I mean? And he said, "Call me every day." I said, "All right, right, Lord, I'll call you." So I call him up. "Sponsor man, where are we going tonight?" He'd be like, "Randy, be outside the house at 6 o'clock. I'll be there to pick you up." And you knew that you better be outside when the sponsor came and got you. Because if you ain't out there, the sponsor keep going. Right? I knew his license plate number because I missed him so many times. So I'd be standing there. He'd come around the corner. Big old truck. And the music would be blaring, bro. And he hit that corner, and the music would cut off. I'm like, "Yo, I like music." You know, I didn't say this to him, but I'm thinking this. Like, "Why you got the music off every time?" Right? He'd get in front of my house. I look in the car. He got four other chuckleheads in the car. And I'm like, you know, I'm catching resentment, right? "Why you need four chuckleheads? Why you got to have four chuckleheads in the car? He's my sponsor. He's my sponsor. Like, we gotta bond. You know what I mean? We need some one-on-one time." So he pull up in front of my house, right? Chucklehead number three get out of the car in the back, right? He's like, "Hey, how you doing?" I'm like, "Yo, that means I gotta sit in the middle. Why I gotta sit in the middle in the back all the time? Like, can't you pick me up first?" I'm not saying this, I'm just thinking this, right? So I get in the car, and we're driving, the car's bouncing up and down, right? And the other chuckleheads are in the car, they're all happy. I'm in the middle talking about it. Right, so we start driving, and the car, it bounces, and my sponsor was a fisherman, right? He had the fisherman pop me in my head. He kept getting stuck in my afro. So we're driving on the highway. I'm like, no, he didn't. I know this fool ain't getting on the highway. Right, here we go. Right on 83. And I'm like, "Yo, I gotta say something now." Right? So, "Excuse me, sponsor man. Like, why are we getting on the highway? Like, there's plenty of meetings right around the corner. You know what I mean? I'm a busy dude. I'm a newcomer. Right? I got episodes of Law and Order I ain't seen yet. You know?" So he took his mirror, right? He's like, "Randy, when you can be self-supporting and you can afford your own vehicle, then you can pick the meeting. Other than that, sit back and enjoy the ride. I'm like, oh. And I did. You know what I mean? Thank God for those rides. Because we were going to, like, Allentown, Quakertown, Easton, Maryland. And I was always stuck. I was trapped in that car, listening to the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous. And not only do I listen to the principles, I watch you people. And the guys that I was with, their actions were meeting up with their words. That became very attractive. I started to run through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I started to get results. And I started to feel better, I started to feel good. And I started getting gifts of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I remember, it is 8:43, correct? All right. So I remember, you know, I'm running through the steps. I'm, like, really doing the steps. And I remember, I forgot to tell you what happened. I forgot, this is very important. I forgot to tell you this. The last time, right before I decided to go with my sponsor, I remember that those looks of disgust, and that's what made me really want to do something different. That's what made me want to run from York, Pennsylvania. Is the looks of disgust, because when I got drunk the last time, I would see things like my son, you know, on a beautiful day like today, with his little dreads getting off the school bus, and he's all happy, he's running across the yard, I'm like, Dad! Dad, you want to play PlayStation, Dad? You want to play some PlayStation? Dad! Dad, you took my PlayStation? Really, Dad? Bobby's dad gonna be taking his stuff. I can't have nothing. You know, I was tired of that look. I was tired of, because we have our parents wired for sound. On a day like today, I go to my mom's house, and I go, just touch that screen door, right? You touch that screen door and go to open up. My mom be like, Randy, how you doing? Jesus. Randy. You just came home yesterday. Randy, don't you know we love you? I can't do nothing for you, but we love you. Randy, you're killing yourself. You know, I was tired of those looks. You know, I was tired of going into courtroom, because we go in courtrooms different than most people. You know? You know that, right? We walk into courtroom like this. And Judge Kennedy, he'd be like, Mr. Jefferson, I thought I told you not to come in this courtroom looking like that. Do you have that much disdain for the law? You know what? I don't even want to talk to him. Just lock him up. Let him sleep it off. You know, I was tired of that look. So I decided to go to Philadelphia. When the bus didn't come when it was supposed to, I ran into my sponsor. He became my sponsor, and I started running through the steps, you know, and I started to get results. And I remember doing the fourth step, and because everyone talks about how hard the fourth step is, I wasn't scared of it. What I thought was hard wasn't writing the fourth step. What was hard for me was, like, seeing my kids through the glass. Yeah, that's kind of hard. Like, walking through Walmart in handcuffs, you know, trying to hide your face. The whole way, because they always have the little police station in the back, so they got to walk you the whole way through the front of the store to get in the cop car. That was hard, you know. Of course, that was hard. So I wrote all that stuff, and I talked to my sponsor, and he said, I sometimes I don't believe everything that people say, especially my sponsor. He said, one day you're gonna be able to help people with that. I was like, nah, come on, bro. Like, I didn't say this, but in my head, I was like, come on, man. Ain't nobody gonna be able, I ain't gonna be able to help nobody with this one thing right here. Not this thing. Everything else, yeah, but not this. So, 3 years, but I told him anyhow. 3 years in my sobriety, I was 3 years sober. And my daughter, which is the love of my life, her name is Onyx, she got real quiet. She became withdrawn. Like, she stopped going to school. And she came, and no one could figure out what was wrong with her. And she came to me one day, and she said, Dad, I need to talk to you. And I said, what's up?
And she said, you know, when you were trying to get sober, something happened to me. The people that you had watching me, you took advantage of me, you know? And that broke my heart, you know, but at the same time, it happened to me. And I told her, I said, yo, honey, I said, yo. I said, that happened to me too. I said, that I was enslaved by that for the longest time until I told my sponsor about that. She goes, yeah, Dad, I needed to tell you about this. She goes, but now that I told you, I have nothing to hide behind. Like, I have nothing to blame all the stuff that I was doing. I said, honest, I know. I know what you're talking about. She says, I got this hole in my soul. And I was like, yo, I know what you're talking about. She goes, Dad, I feel so freaking empty. I said, honest, you'll be able to fill that hole. I said, and you'll be able to do it easy. My sponsor told me how to fill that hole. She said, how do you do it, Dad? And I said, by helping people. I said, I fill it with God. She said, Dad. I said, what? She said, why? She goes, why do you have to go there all the time? I said, what are you talking about? She said, why do you have to say, God? She said, why are you talking about God all the time? She goes, I don't believe in God. I said, what? You don't believe in God? I said, you were in the front row with all the stuff that happened to me. Don't you realize it was nothing but an act of providence that saved me, that brought me back to those gates of hell? It wasn't the rehabs. It wasn't the judges. It was God. Don't you realize that? She said, Dad. She said, I hear you on the phone all the time, talking to those kids, telling them that they can pick their own conception of God. She says, why can't I find mine? I said, cool. I said, you're right, little girl. But you better stop listening to my phone calls. She got better. I got better. We both got better. I didn't think that was going to happen in my life. My sponsor also said, you know, because the book says some things we balked. Like, I balked. You know what? I don't think we talk about the 8th and 9th step enough. The 9th step. Like, it's so rewarding. And I remember I stopped at the 8th step. Like, I wanted to write it down, but I didn't want to do nothing else. And I remember my sponsor said, yo, you're speaking about being a thief. Like, you know, you speak from the podium about stealing. Like, you need to make that stuff right. So one day, I had about 3.5 years sober. I went, I had a suit and tie on, right? It was a nice suit. It wasn't no watch and wear. You know what I mean? I was looking good. And I pulled in the Giants. I called my sponsor. I said, sponsor man. I said, I'm not praying anymore. He said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm ready to make amends to these stores. He said, really? I said, yeah. He said, make sure you pray before you go in there. So I pulled in the Giants, and I was getting out of my car. And my buddy, who I take meetings into the prison with, was getting off his Harley. Right? He said, yo, what's up, bro? You looking good? I said, yep. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going in here to make amends. He said, really? I said, yeah. He said, you want me to hold your keys and your cell phone just in case? I said, yes. And I said, do you mind praying with me too? And he got off his motorcycle, and this dreadhead dude in the middle of the parking lot held hands and prayed for strength. And I went to that store, and I asked for the manager. And the manager came up and said, yes, sir, how can I help you? I said, my name is Randolph Jefferson. I'm a member of 12-step program. And in order for me to maintain my sobriety, he's looking at me all crazy. I said, in order to maintain my sobriety, I must write the wrongs that I've done in the past. He's like, yeah. I said, well, sir, in the past, I was a thief. He said, really? I said, yes, and I did your company great harm. He said, but you're sober today, right? I said, yes, sir, I have 3 years sober. He said, well, when's the last time you stole from me? I said, about 4 years ago, because I was trying to do the right thing, but now I do the right thing now. He says, but you're sober, right? I said, yes, sir. I said, I got to pay you back somehow. I said, how can I repay you? He said, well, you're sober, right? I said, yeah. He said, and you help people? I said, yeah. He says, well, I don't know. Stay sober and don't steal from me anymore? I said, is that all, sir? He said, yep, my whole ass out there. I said, sponsor, I did it, bro, I did it. He said, well, what did he tell you? Well, he told me to stay sober and don't steal from him. He said, that's great, Randy, what are you going to do now? I said, I'm going to Walmart, son. And I ran around making amends, you know. And not all of them turn that pretty, but... But you know what? They don't follow me at Walmart anymore. Imagine that. And I'm being of service at Walmart at some stores because they told me to participate in Children's Miracle Network. So I'm being of service, you know? And it's cool to be able to look at the world in the eye at last. It's cool to be able to know that God, like, is using me. You know what I mean? That's like, that's so cool to be a channel. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I love my home group. You know, and you know, a lot of the things that I was afraid of before, I'm not afraid of anymore. I'm not. A lot of ideals have changed. I remember Harrison used to always say to me, he said, "Randy," he said, "you need to come to my meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous." I'm like, "What meeting are you talking about?" He said, "I go to the Rainbow meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous." I said, "Okay. Sure." You know, that's what my mind said, because I'm saying to myself, my mind's really saying, "I ain't going to the damn Rainbow meeting. What I look like going to Rainbow meetings?" But that was all because I had a preconception. Like, you know what I mean? I didn't know. See, I thought when I went to a Rainbow meeting, like, I'd be like, "My name is Randy, I'm alcoholic," and everyone would be, "Hey, Randy." So I didn't do that. It's just a regular meeting, Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, like, ideas have changed in my life. And I remember one thing that's changed in my life, like, I got into service early on, and my buddy, Bernie, one day he had me run the Tuesday meeting, right? The Big Book meeting, right? So I get there early. I made sure the coffee was nice and nasty. I made sure all the chairs were in line. I had a Big Book on the front, on the right, you know, all facing the same way on every other chair. You know what I mean? I want to make sure my meeting was perfect. And when the meeting was over, I went up to Bernie. I said, "Bernie, how'd I do, Bernie?" He said, "Randy, you're going to go far." And I was like, "Really?" I said, "Bernie, I'm going to go far." He said, "Yep, you sure are." I said, "Bernie, am I going to go far because I got a Big Book?" He said, "No, that's not it." I said, "Bernie, am I going to go far because I have a sponsor?" I said, "No, that's not it." I said, "Bernie, why am I going to go far in Alcoholics Anonymous?" He said, "Because, Randy, you got a long way to go." And you know what? Thank God, man. You know, like, life, I love Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, there's no way that 9 years ago, if you would have given me what I wanted 9.5 years ago, I would have cut myself short. You know, through Alcoholics Anonymous, I have contentment. You know, sure, things went bad in my life. Things go bad. But God allowed me to have serenity where there was calamity. Like, I skipped through life today, bro. Like, I skipped through life. Like, I wake up in the morning, and it's like, me, it's like I wake up in the morning and I get ready for the crapshoot. You know what I mean? Like, what you gonna bring me, bro? Like, it's like I'm gonna roll Daddy's new pair of shoes. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, "God, what we gonna do today?" You know what I mean? And I got a motorcycle. Like, you better stop it now. Now I'm on fire now, right? I'm like driving, talking about, "Make me a channel of your being." Boom, boom. "Where there is hidden, let me show you love." Boom, boom. It's off the hook. Remember back in the day when you were a kid? You guys got Donnie Park, right? We had Hershey Park. Like, when we used to go to Hershey Park, we were kids, right? My mom, only thing I ever wanted was that big old lollipop. You know that big old lollipop that got all the different colors? Always wanted one of them. I'm like, "Yo, Mom, give me the lollipop. Can I get the lollipop?" And she'd be like, "Yeah, I'm going to get it for you. Just calm down. Let me get the lollipop. Put the lollipop. Put the lollipop. Don't get it on you. Just take it easy." You know? And she'd give me the lollipop. But I try to be good. I'd be like, "Uh-huh. Uh-huh." And that's kind of like my AA, bro. Like, I got it all over me, bro. I don't care who's watching. I'm like, "Ha ha."
You know what I mean? And it tastes so good, I want to give it to you. I'm like, how do you want some? She's like, ew, that's nasty. But he might say, ooh, yeah, let me try that. He starts getting into it. And it's so sweet. Hey, it's so sweet. You just want to give it away. You know? And I love that pause, man. It saved my life. Thanks for letting me babble.